Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayemi, Maseches Chulin Daf Kuf Gimel. We are holding seven lines off the top of the Amid, and right in the middle of the discussion. So we have an Eiver Menachai, piece of a live animal, which also happens to be from a Treifa animal. An animal which has an internal wound, a punctured lung, an amputated leg, which is another reason to forbid it for consumption. A fellow eats an Eiver Menachai, limb off this live animal, which happens to be a Treifa. How many liabilities is he going to be facing? How many times Malchus? He really did two Yisurim. Two in one, right? Rabbi Yechon says he's Chayiv two. Two sets of Malchus. One on account of Eiver Menachai, the other one on account of Treif. Resh Lakish says he's only Chayiv one. And the question is why? Bebehim Achas. When it's from the very same animal, but my pligi, what's the Machlekes about? How do we explain these two positions? So we have several approaches. Amar Abai, first comes Abai, and he says, for instance, this animal, from which he took the limb, was turned into a treifa. It suffered this internal wound as it was being born upon birth, when most of it emerged from its mother, which is the point of birth. So it became a treifa simultaneous to its birth. Marasava, now Rabbi Yechanan holds, behemim b'chaya. This relates back to yesterday's discussion. How do we relate to a live animal? Is he merely comprised of Eivarim? So the Eivar label applies even during the animal's lifetime. While it's a single, complete, whole entity, or do we say the term Eivar is only upon detachment, when it was severed from the animal? Rabbi Yechon says even a live being is really a compilation of separate limbs, in which case its Eivar Menachai status has already been activated as the animal is being born. It's a compilation of Eivar. The Isur of Eivar Menachai is already there, has already been applied before an Eivar was separated from the bunch. Ma'ar Sover Behema, full, complete, whole entity of an animal, Bechaya, during its lifetime, Leivar Mehmedes, it's slated for dissection, it's already considered like a compilation of parts. In which case, it already has a status of Eivar Menachai and a status of Treifa. It happened together simultaneously as it's being born. V'yisr Treifa, V'yisr Eivar Menachai, Ba'adei Ha'adadei Ka'asar, they both arrive simultaneously, in which case they merge together. We have a double layer of Isr in this animal. Right? They both came at the same time. And then they've both been activated. And they both are relevant. Umar Savar, Resh Lakish disagrees. He says, Behemah b'chaya, a full animal during its lifetime, love Levar Mehmed, is not slated for dissection. It's an animal. It's an entity. It's not merely a collection of Eivarim, in which case there is no concept of Eivar at this early point, this early stage. And there's no Isser of Eivar Menachai until it's been detached, but while it's still intact, there's no V'leyosir Isser Eivar Menachai Chai La Isser Treifa. So when it's born, all it has is Isser Treifa. That's for sure applicable at that point. And now, once it's been saturated with Isser of Treifa, there's no room for the Isser Eivar Menachai to arrive later upon severing the piece of the animal. So we're left only with treif. Another approach, we are saying, but the kuliyam all agree, behem b'chaya lav levar memedes, during its lifetime, doesn't have a status of evarim. There's no evar menachai. Only treif. And that's the question. We may say, iser evar. The question is, can we bring the iser of evar? Can that come along and make and land iser treif on the iser treif, which was pre-existing? Kavetligi, that's the machlekes. Maror Sover, Rabbi Yechon says yes. Resh Lakish says no. Marasava Asr Isr Eivar. Isr of Eivar comes and lands. Chayla Isr Treifa, because Isr Eivar is a broader Isr. It applies even to Goyim, right? And therefore, since it's more extensive, it can land and latch itself onto a more limited Isr. Now we have a double Isr going. Umar Savar. Whereas Rish Lakish says, no. Layasa Isr Eivar V'chayla Isr Treifa. Eivar Menachai does not come and land on Isr Treifa. And all you have is this a treifa, which is one liability. But you had a third approach in understanding the machlekes. Kuliyam all agree behem chaya, an animal during its lifetime, levar memedes, is already labeled as evar. So when it's born, the Isser Eva Menachai has already been activated on it. But the treif only arrived later. It got its hind leg amputated. The treifa's status only arrived at a later date. So the question is, can treifa come and latch itself on to Eva Menachai? That's the machlekes. Can treifa come and land on Isser treif? Sorry, can treifa come and land on Isser Eva? Conversely, that's the point of discussion. Mar sabar asiv achayel. Rabbi Yechon says, yep, it will come land and double up, right? Umar sabale osav achayel, whereas Rish Lakish says, no, it will not latch itself on to the pre-existing Isser of Eivar Menachai. So all you left with is with Isser Eivar Menachai. Interesting. Why would Rabbi Yechon say that it can double up? I mean, if it's already Usser, why would this? So Tosis and Yevamos explains, because Isser Treif has an element of severity over Eivar Menachai. Eivar Menachai can just be solved by Shechita, right? So you shecht it, there it goes. Whereas Isser Treif is a permanent status. So in a way you can say it's more severe, more extensive, and therefore, contra Biechanon, it will latch itself on. Here comes yet a fourth approach in understanding Machlekes. Rava Amakun Shetolash Mena Aver Vitarfaboy. What happened once he removed an Aver, and by doing so, he injured the animal to the extent that it became a Trefa. Okay, so what's Machlekes? Mar Sabar, Behem Bechayel, Evarim, Enei Medes. Rabbi Yechon holds. There's no concept of Aver when the animal is intact. Rather, only when you actually pull out the Aver. And therefore, when you did so, Isser Aver, Isser Treva, by Hadadika Asu. So when he pulled off the Aver, and also managed to turn the animal to Treva by doing so, both Isurim arrived simultaneously. And therefore, they coexist. Umar Savar Behemoth Bechayeb Levar Memedes, Rish Lakish says, the concept of Aver applies even during the animal's lifetime when it's intact. So that predates Isser Treifa, which arrived later. But you also see Isser Treifa, Chayel, Isser Aver. So then later, when it turns into a Treifa, it can't latch itself onto the pre-existing Isser of Aver and Achayel, in which case it's only Chayel one Isser. Okay, so we had a Machlekes. In the case of Aver and Achayel, which happens to be a Treifa as well, Rabbi Yechon says it's Chayel twice, Rish Lakish says Chayel once. We had four ways to explain it. Here comes another discussion. This time, it's about chalev, forbidden fats. Omer b'chiver abar b'yichnan. Ochal chalev min achay min atreva chayev shtay. This fellow ate a piece of forbidden fats, plucked off a live animal, which happened to be a treva as well. Three reasons for Isser. How many times is he chayev eating? Three times. Chayev shtay, only chayev twice. Omer le Rav Ami. Says Rav Ami to Rav Chir bar Abba, v'lei memar shalosh. Why don't you say three? Shani Yom Shalish, because according to my version of Rabbi Yechon's opinion, it's three. It's Marnami. We have likewise Omer Rabbo and Rabbi Yechonon. Quotes Rabbi Yechon that it's three. Ochal chelav min achayim min atreifa. He had chelav of a live animal, which happens to be treifa. Three reasons for prohibition. Chayiv Shalish is chayiv three. But my kemifli, how do we explain this difference of opinion, whether it's two or three? What's the case? Kegoy shenitrefa mitzias rupa. So again, as the animal is being born, it turned to a treifa. It got its treifa status at birth. Manda Mashalosh, the one that maintains that there are three liabilities. Chelev, Eivar Menachai, treifa. Kosava he holds, Behemoth Bechayel, Levar Memedes. The status of Eivar was applied even during the animal's lifetime, as it's being born. In which case, all three Isurim arrive simultaneously, and therefore they latch onto each other. Right? They coexist. It's a simultaneously formed bundle. The Isser Chelev, the Isser of forbidden fat, the Isser Eva, the Isser Eva Menachai, the Isser Treif, the Isser Treif, Badad Adi, Kos arrived at the very same time. So, it's a triple Isser. Umanda Mashnai Shtayim. The other opinion, which maintains that it's only two liabilities, Kos Abra Yolds, Be'eva Mechayel, Lav Le'eva Mechayel, there's no concept of Eva during the animal's lifetime. So at this early stage, before he plucked off the Chelev, it is not considered Eivar Menachai. All you have is Chelev and Treifa. The Isser Chelev, the Isser Treifa, Ikka, that you have, Isr Eivar, no, Le'osichal, doesn't come and latch itself on. So all you have is two out of three. Yibayisim, another way to understand the machlok is, the Kuliyama. All agree, Behemah b'chaya, Lav l'ver m'med, there's no concept of Eivar during the animal's lifetime. Okay, so as the animal's born, all you have is Chelev and Isr Treifa. Question is, can Eivar Nachai come and land on those two? Uba Mason, regarding arriving and bringing and importing Isr Chelev, Eivar Nachai v'chayil, and adding it on to a Isr Chelev and also a Isr Treifa, can we add Eivar to the other Isr? Mar Sover Asr Chayil, one maintains you could, one maintains you can't. You can't, you know, double up Yisur. Another way to explain the machlekes. All agree, when the animal is intact, it is already considered like a compilation of Evarim, and Evarim Nachai is already in existence there. So at this point, it has Chelev, Yisur Chelev, and Yisur Evarim Nachai. The Treifa status arrived only later. Going with speaking, for instance, it got injured later. And the question is, can that Isser come and apply itself to the pre-existing Isser of Mesi? Isser Treifa. And the question is regarding bringing along the Isser Treifa and landing it on the other ones. Meichel, Isser Eivar, Kamiflugi, and landing it on the Isser Eivar. Mar Sava, one says, yep, it works. We'll see in a minute why. Mar Sava, Aser, Asichael, yep. That Treifa can come, add itself to Isser Eivar Menachai. Why? Just like we find by Chelev, that if an animal turns into a Treifa, the Chelev portion of that animal has two reasons for Isser, Chelev and also Treifa. Torah allows doubling up. The Ramaz we find, discussed elsewhere, HaTorah Amra. You see, the Torah says that a person should not eat Chelev of Nevela and Treifa, of a dead animal and a treifa animal. The question is, why does Torah have to repeat that prohibition? We already know that you can't eat chelev. That's known from a different pasuk. Torah is teaching us, HaTorah Amra, Yova Isr Nevela, Yochal Isr Chelev. Even though the forbidden fat is already forbidden because of its chelev status, but if it turns into a nevela, there's another layer of Isr as well, due to the nevela status. And likewise, treifa. V'yova Isr Treifa, Yochal Isr Chelev, V'tim Torah Treifa, there are two reasons not to eat a chelev. Chelev and the treifa that's added later. So, if we see that you can add nevela or treifa to chelev, we assume the same with adding it to Eivar Menachai. No, says the Mavi, the opposing opinion disagrees. He says you can't compare to this. Achelev uduchayev. Yeah, you can add nevela and treifa to a pre-existing chelev isra. You know why? The hutam mechlala, because chelev in a way has a leniency. It's hutam mechlala. We turn to the days. There are exceptions to the rules. Rashi says etzel chaya. You know, the chelev of a chaya is mutar. So we see the chelev is in essence a relatively lenient prohibition. So it allows for more, has room for more to land on it. Aval ever, but the isur ever menachai, which is our discussion today, the lota mechlal, which has no exceptions to its rule, it's always answer. Why? In this case, no. It's saturated with ever menachai. Leaves no room for the additional isur of treifa to land on it. In which case, he's exempt from the Isra Treifa that arrives later. Okay, so in summation, we have a fellow who plucked Chelev off a live animal, which happens to be a Treifa. According to some, is Chayav 3. According to some, 2. We explained the reasons for each opinion. Continues the Gemara. Ki aso Rav Dimi. When Rav Dimi arrived in Bavel, he related the following. Amar, he says, Bo Oiminei, you should know back in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Shimon ben Lakish asked by Rabbi Yechna. So back to Eivar Menachai, where there is a minimum shiur of a kezias. Now, as Rashi points out, unlike your standard forbidden food material, where if a person eats a kezias, even if he doesn't eat it at once, rather he eats it incrementally, within a time span called kedei achilas peras. Pras means half a loaf. Which loaf? A loaf that comprises 2 meals worth of material. Half a loaf is 1 meal's worth. Some say it's 3 minutes, some 9 minutes. In any case, whatever the exact time span is, the point is that it's a mealtime experience. So he has this kazayis, which is smaller than a meal's worth of material, of course, just an olive size of quantity. If he has that, crumb by crumb, but altogether had it within that 9-minute time frame, within that mealtime experience, it is considered an achil, a proper consumption, a kazayis consumption, versus if he stretches it out, you know, it takes 2 hours to eat that little. They don't really combine. It doesn't really unite. It's not considered one act of achilah. Okay, so within achilas pras, yes. But beyond that, no. That's the standard procedure regarding all types of acts of eating discussed in the Torah, whether it's on a positive note, whether it's a mitzvah of achilas matzo, you have to have that kazayis within this time span, whether it's forbidden material eating, forbidden foods, such as unkosher food, right? But when it comes to Eivor Nachai, there's something unique. What is its uniqueness? Rashi says it's chidushu, something of an abnormality. Because here, even if it's not edible material, you have an eivar min achai, a limb of a live animal, which is comprised of a little bit of edible, you know, basar, but topped off with bone material, which is not edible, gidim, batsamais, he's liable. That's something unusual. It's not even edible material, and he's still chayav. So perhaps, explains Rashi, perhaps in this case, we have to apply different rules, different system. Since it's not your conventional act of eating, perhaps you can't apply the conventional system of eating. Yeah, a regular food, edible material, if he eats it within a meal's worth of time, within a meal experience, yeah, it's considered an achila. And it's chai, but here, it's not really meant for a meal. So who says this concept of a mealtime experience, of a mealtime, you know, time span would apply? Perhaps in this case, it has to be a single kazayis. He has to eat it at once for it to be considered, for him, consider him as one who eats, as one who has eaten a sheer, an amount, a quantity of a kazayis of Eivor Nachai. Perhaps it has to have that format, has to look like a kazayis and eat it at once. You can't eat a little, and then combine it. There's no eating experience that combines it. There's no unifying factor here. So although the Torah does hold him liable, hold him accountable for eating a kazayis, even inedibles, if it's Eivor Nachai, but perhaps it has to really be a kazayis piece for it to qualify as an act of achilas Eivor Nachai. So that's the underlying, you know, question here in the sugya. So he asked Rabbi Yechon, cholkim b'chutz ma'u. He took the kazayis of Eivor Nachai, and b'chutz, meaning before even taking it into his mouth, right outside, he sliced it into two pieces. He ate a half of kazayis, swallowed it, and then had another half. Ma, what's the halacha here? Is he liable or not? Amar lei pater. No, he says, of course he's pater, because there's no singular kazayis. And it's not deemed an act of achila. Mivifnemai. Next question. Suppose he swallowed it, he took it into his mouth whole, but as he's swallowing it, it was split into two, and he swallowed only half at a time. So it was sort of taken apart as it's going down. Rashi explains, Samach lebeis b'liyase, as it got near the swallowing area, you know, the throat. Rashi later explains, that's the ikur hanoah a person has as he's ingesting it and taking it into his throat. So it was split as it was being swallowed. What happens now? Mibifnim, it was split only inside, my. Is he liable or not? Amalei, he says chai. In this case, he's chai because the fact is, it was intact, it was whole, as it was nearing his throat. And that's when he has a satisfaction. That's when the act of consumption begins. And since at that point it was whole, it was intact, it was full kazayis, is chayiv. Okay, that's Rav Dimi's version of this halach. It was taken apart prior to insertion in the mouth, it's potter. But if it only came apart later, it's chayiv. He also Rabban Amar. Rabban came, however, he had a different version of this halach. In the first case, chol koyim b'chutz, it was cut before insertion into his mouth. Of course, he's potter, as we say. However, b'fnim, if it happened inside, at the throat, we have a machloikas. Rabbi Yechon Amar Chayev, he says he's Chayev, as we explained before, because the act of consumption is initiated at that point. Samachal Blaze Bliyasai, right as it's about to enter his throat, as it's about to ingest it. And at that point, since it was intact, it was a full kazayis, he's liable. Resh Lakish Amar Potur, Resh Lakish says he's Potur. Why? Because ultimately, when it got into his system, it was already split into two. Right? And the more explains, Rabbi Yechon Amar Chayev, you know why he's Chayev? Harinena Groinai, the garden, the throat, as it's being ingested, taken into the esophagus, he had a kazayis, he had a full satisfaction of a kazayis. Resh Lakish Amar Potur, no, he's Potur because Achilu B'meyav B'inon. The focus is on his digestive system. Down inside. At that point, it was no longer kazayis. Achil, you need an act of achil b'meyav inside his system, inside his digestive system. But luckily, you don't have it in this case. So you never have it according to Rish Lakish. How could you ever be chayiv for even a chayiv? El Rishim Lakish. Who swallows a full kazayis whole? Heichim Mishkachas L'machayiv. How can you have a fellow chayiv for a kazayis of Eve ben Achai? He says, yeah. Amar of Kahana begrumisas irta, a certain kind of bone, certain kind of little limb near the hip area, which is comprised of a little bit flesh, a little bit gid, a little bit etzem, and as she says, typically a person just swallows it whole. Okay, so in that case, he certainly didn't interfere with the shir kazayis, he's chayav. Here comes the third sheet of Rav Lezer. Amar says, no, afilu cholkem b'chutz nami chayav, even if a fellow takes the kazayis, cuts it into two, and takes it in half at a time, he's still chayv. You know why? That doesn't disrupt its wholeness. It's still one kazayis. I mean, just put it together, put it in your mouth. Because a craving, when something is lacking togetherness, when you just have to bring it together, it doesn't change its entity. It's not considered lacking a masa, meaning it wasn't really transformed. It's still kazayis. He's eating a piecemeal. That's still chayv. So we have three shittas, right? Regarding kazayis or even nachayv. If it was cut mi b'chutz and then take it in and swallow it, you know, half of the time. Who else says chayev? And the other shita is say pata. What if it was only divided inside as he's swallowing it? According to one version, he's pata. According to the other version, it's subject to machlokes. Rabbi Yechon says chayev because the act of achila is defined starting from the approaching of the food to the garein as he's beginning to swallow. And at that point it was whole. Rish Lakish says, no, it's all about what's going on inside the person, in his digestive system, in his stomach, in which case here, since inside it's not a complete kazayis, he's pot. Further on this topic, which pretty much ties in because the underlying machleika seems to be that according to Rabbi Yechon, the ma'asa achila, the eating experience, begins, it's not defined by what's going on inside his stomach. It's defined by what happens as he's swallowing versus Rish Lakish, who focuses more on the digestive system inside. Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, kazayis she'amru. You know, whenever we speak about, you know, the kazayis here, what do you factor in? Chutz mishal bein hashinayim. You can't factor in what's stuck inside his teeth, what's trapped between his teeth that was never eaten, it never went into the system, it never went down. For Beich Amar, no, Afim Ben Hashanayim, you can even factor in what's inside is trapped between the teeth. Amar Papa, let me clarify. B'shal Ben Hashanayim, what's actually trapped in the teeth? I mean, he didn't eat it, according to everybody. Even according to Beich, he didn't swallow it. The Kuliyam, the Pligi, all agree that he's putter on that. You can't factor that in. Ki Pligi Ben Hachayim. The question is about material stuck towards the back of his mouth, near his throat. So most of it went up. So a little bit got stuck there and it's still there. Mar Sabar, Rabbi Yechon says he's chayiv. That contributes to the kazayis. Harei nene groinai, right? It's all about hanas groinai, the satisfaction, the pleasure of the garen as he's swallowing. At that stage, the kazayis, he has a kazayis there. At that juncture, he had another kazayis. So even though only 90% went down, but the part that stuck towards the back of his mouth, is sort of complementing it. It's completing the shir, tekezayis. Umar sover achilu b'meyav beinon. Rosh Lakish says, no way. Kezayis has to be down on the system, not the material stuck up at the back of the mouth. Okay. Here comes another twist to this topic. Omar b'yasi, what about reading the same material? Omar b'yasi, Omar b'yachnon. Ochal chati zayis. B'yikiyoy. Okay, the fellow had a half a zayis of the isra. Vomited it, expelled it from the system, and he went ahead, v'chazer b'ochal chati zayis achar. He went up to the next half a zayis and he ate it as well. So he didn't read the same one. We'll get to that in a minute. Here, it's pretty simple. He ate a half a zayis, but it didn't stay down. It came back up. He had another half a zayis. So, interesting. How do you view this? I mean, he ate a zayis, but he's only left with a half a zayis inside. So it's connected to our previous discussion, right? Kotor b'chen is chayiv. Because the fact is, it's all about swallowing. He swallowed a kazayas, right? My time, my reinana, garden of a kazayas. He had the hanos garden of a kazayas. He swallowed a kazayas. Ba Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Asi. So Rabbi Elazar asked Rabbi Asi. Okay, in your case, it was fairly simple. He didn't recycle the same material. But what about a case where he recycles it? Listen to this. Ochal chatzi zayis v'ikiyoy. Okay, so far so good. He had a half a zayis, threw it up. And re-ate the same half a zayis. Recycled the same material. Mao. What would you say in this case? Now, there are two aspects here. There are two factors to consider. First of all, recycled material. I mean, is that called food? That's first of all. Second of all, that other question, right? Inside of him, he only has a half a zayis left. So what was Rabbi Elazar's main objective? What was he trying to clarify? What was this question focused on? Was it an equal question? Equal means digested. Recycled material, is it still considered food or is it considered digested material, in which case he's not liable for eating it? Was that his question? So if that was his question, if it was limited to that point, why did he bother speaking about two halves? The same query can apply to a full kazayis. Look, he ate a kazayis, spit it out, and re-ate it. Is he chayv twice or once? I mean, it's a fairly simple case. Why get complicated if you could just keep simple? But to boil the kazayis, he could have posed the same question regarding kazayis. Oh, apparently he was concerned about the other question. What do you factor in? What do you count in the amount that he swallowed, the amount that he has left inside? Ella rather, ibas agroin aslina, do you focus on the garin, the swallowing? Ibas amir aslina, do you focus on what he has inside his system? So if that was the point, then why do you have to speak about reading recycled material? What's that connected? V'tivshel le'mid Rabbi Asi. He could have clarified that from the previous halacha. Rabbi Asi already taught us that if a person eats a half a zayis, spits it out, eats another half a zayis, he is chayiv. Because ultimately he swallowed a kazayis. So why did he have to even repose the question again? Says the Gemara, the truth is, Rabbi Elazar had no questions at all. He was trying to be nice to Rabbi Asi. Because Rabbi Asi really had once learned this by Rabbi Yechanan. And apparently he forgot. You know, even great men like Amiraim, Rabbi Asi, he forgot. Rabbi Asi, Gemara Yakarle. He forgot the Gemara, I mean, he forgot the Halacha that he learned from Rabbi Yechanan. Regarding both matters, A, regarding recycled material, and B, regarding how to account for the sum total, that it's all about what he swallowed, not about what stays in the system. So both matters, he learned from Rabbi Yechon, and he forgot. And Rabbi Elazar sensed that he forgot. Because if you pay close attention to Rav Asi's halacha, right, who quoted Rav Yechon regarding eating a half a zayis, expels it, eats another half a zayis, it would sound like if you recycle the same material, that doesn't work. That's incorrect. But Rav Yechon taught him both things. First of all, it's all about how much you swallow, not about what stays in the system. Number two, even recycled material is considered food. So Rav Elazar was trying to sort of jog his memory. It was clear that he forgot. He's trying to gently remind him. Vasra was coming to remind him. Therefore, he approached him like this. He says, look, you just taught us. He had a half, another half. Why do you have to speak about eating another half of a zayis? For the same money, the same halacha could apply to the same chatzi zayis that he re-eats, that he recycles. Leimamar, he should have said, b'didei, regarding the same food that was re-eaten. In which case, we can now learn two halachas from there. Recycled, and it's about the swallowing. Dika l'mishma minei tarati. You could have learned both halachas. Number one, shamina mino, we would learn from it, d'lo yavi ikol. It's not considered digested. It's still considered food matter. At least for the person who had eaten it to begin with. But shamina mino, and secondly, we would learn from it, in terms of tallying, you know, the shear, the focal point is on the act of swallowing. Dari nana grinim kazayis, he had that intake satisfaction. So, meaning, what would you say, you know, Ishtik, he didn't have an answer, meaning he couldn't remember. Ishtik, he didn't respond. He couldn't recall what Rabbi Yochanan taught him. Amalis or Blezer, again, responded with sensitivity and respect. He says, Moifes Hadar, the great, outstanding one of the generation. Don't you remember, Loi Zimnin, isn't it true that many times, Zimnin Sagin, many times, Amris Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, you yourself presented this to Rabbi Yochanan, that even, you know, reading the same material, right? He concurred, he told you, yep. Harinene grinne b'kazayis, once he has that hana b'kazayis coming down his throat, as long as he swallowed a kazayis, even if he re-eats it, doesn't matter. Because both things are true. The share of kazayis is reckoned by the amount that he swallowed, and number two, even if he re-eats the same material, it can be factored in to the sum total of the shear. Okay. Hanlach Kiranash. Okay, bottom line is, we have a discussion regarding multiple Isurim. We had Ivam Nachai with a treif, and the question was, how many Isurim does he get? We had a similar case with the Chelev. Menachai, Menat Treifa, is it two, is it three? We explained it in great detail. And then we had this interesting Machlaikas regarding, you know, what constitutes an act of achila. According to Rish Lakish, focuses on me'av, what's left in the system, the feeling of satisfaction, right? Feeling of satiation. Whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan, the act of achila is defined by the experience of swallowing, the hanas groinai, in which case, even if it's, you know, repeated on the same, same. You know, even if it's ultimate, it's not going to stay inside, right? In fact, as he did have hanas groinai kazayis, and therefore it's considered an achilah of kazayis. Now, this, by the way, applies not only to isurim; it applies to obligatory, achilah experiences as well. The mitzvahs matzah, right? What do you do there? The person ate and then he expelled it. So there's a big machlokes, a big discussion amongst the Paiskim, whether, in that case, in this case, we pass on Rabbi Yochanan, right? Hanas groinai, do we do the same, do we say the same by mitzvahs, achilas matzah? But interestingly, when it comes to like a bracha achroina, bracha sanen, and benching, whatever, it's pointed out that it would seem there, certainly, a person has to hold it down in order to be satisfied and to feel content and make a brichas hamazon. Pasuk says, "V'ochalta v'savata," right? You feel full, you feel satiated, you have that satisfaction. And only then are we truly capable of, you know, encompassing every fiber of our being, shama, our guf, and unison, cohesion, and a comprehensive experience of thankfulness of achalta v'savata v'rachta v'shem alakecha v'la'orat ha'teva v'shem aslacha, which always have bracha v'aslacha v'shem aslacha, all the best.